Welcome to the Radon Connection, brought to you by the American Association of Radon Scientists and Technologists, with the goal to keep you connected to the largest community of leaders, professionals, and advocates in the radon industry. We want to thank you for listening to this series today in celebration of ARST Member Appreciation Month. Thanks for listening in, everyone. We're so excited to have our guest today, and he is bringing us concepts about small business marketing. His name's Brent Olbert. Brent has a Bachelor of Science in Consumer Affairs, a certificate in business, and he graduated with honors from the University of Wisconsin at Madison. Brent, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Not doing so well with technology, but other than that, doing well.
Yeah, it always glitches right when we need it.
Exactly. Yeah. And here I am about to talk to you about digital marketing concepts. No one's going to trust me.
Yeah. So yeah, what are you bringing today? So we want to learn about small business concepts with marketing as a focus.
Absolutely. I guess maybe it might help to get a little bit of a background. So before I got into the industry and joined ARST, I've been in the industry for about 3 years now with Professional Discount Supply. We're a family owned and operated independent distributor. Geared towards radon mitigators, homeowners, and anybody that has questions about radon. But for about 7 years before that, I was in small business marketing in Northern Colorado. So I worked with probably over 1,000 different clients in that time.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. So most of my clients were mom and pop shops, a lot like radon mitigators. I actually had a few radon mitigators that were my customers. In my old career and are still my customers now. Mm-hmm. What I did was help them get phone calls, really was their goal. They wanted leads. So I actually started back in, I believe it was about 2011. The company is still around. I think they actually just sold to a competitor, but they used to be called Front Door Direct. And believe it or not, they were a Yellow Pages company. So here I am at 26 years old working for a phone directory after they hired me to do some digital marketing for them. Mm-hmm. And cut to about 4 years later, I was managing the entire Northern Colorado market and had introduced 5 or 6 different marketing mediums to them.
And wow.
During that time, I worked with about, like I said, about 1,000 small businesses, mostly home contractors, you know, people that are plumbers, roofers, house painters, people that are looking to get things done to their home. So it was kind of serendipitous that I found my way into the radon mitigation industry where folks are trying to do that very same thing. They're trying to get homeowners to get a call to work on their homes.
Right.
So, and I had the pleasure of interviewing, you know, usually I would sit down with these business owners and kind of interview them about their business to see what would work best. And I found a lot of commonalities between these different industries on how they got their best leads. So I think an important thing to understand before you even get into talking about any sort of marketing channels is a concept that I found a lot of small business owners lacked, which was return on investment, ROI. I mean, basically most marketing channels are going to get you some business. Really what that business means to you is how much did it cost you to get it? You know, if you put an ad in a telephone directory that's overpriced and you get, you know, 5 phone calls, that might not be worth it. Whereas if you get an ad in a phone directory for next to nothing and you get 5 phone calls, that might be a gold mine. So this is kind of the concept I had to get across to people is, what are you paying for lead, really is what you need to break it down to. So the big thing I want to impart to anyone before they get into marketing is to think about who they want to contact, think about a budget, and then track the return on investment. I kind of called those the 3 T's. If anyone saw my ARST speech in Myrtle Beach, it was think and track were the 2 big ones. Target, track.
Basically. Yeah, I see that. So I think a lot of people have ideas and then they can pick the ideal customer. That's your target goal. But I'm not sure everybody knows how to track what they put into play.
Yeah, that one is a lot easier than you might imagine. I think some people kind of overthink it. They think they got to be computer whizzes and know how to log on and look at a dashboard and all sorts of cool, you know, crazy stuff. And there are ways to track and target with Google Analytics that way. And Facebook gives you some tools. But I think the simplest way was kind of the easiest, the original way, which is a concept called remote call forwarding. Have you heard of that before?
I have not.
So basically, what it is you get a unique phone number that doesn't exist anywhere else in the world, and then you place that phone number in your advertisement, so that at the end of the month you can get a call report from that phone number, and you know exactly how many people called you, and how long the duration of your phone calls were. So let's say you put an ad in, you put a phone number on the back of your truck, maybe, or your van, as a contractor, and that's the only place in the world that exists. And at the end of the month, you take a look and you go, wow, I got 45 phone calls just from people sitting in traffic that saw my, or maybe in a parking lot, they saw my van. And that, in my opinion, is the absolute easiest way to do it. And there's a lot of services online you can sign up for yourself. So you don't even have to go with your marketing partner on that. You don't have to trust that the company that you purchased, because a lot of companies include that nowadays. If you put an ad in a newspaper or an ad online, they can include a remote call forward number. But you can actually do it yourself pretty easily as well.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, and I can hear some of the listeners right now saying, everybody knows my phone number. I've had it for 30 years. I don't want to change it. What I would say to that is, do you know the phone number of your spouse by heart? Do you know the phone number of your favorite sandwich shop by heart? Because with the ubiquitous nature of cell phones nowadays and all the phone numbers are saved, I only know full of numbers, and most of them are my direct family numbers, and some friends I had in elementary school, because those are still rattling around in the back of my brain when I had to remember them.
Yeah, we used to have to remember numbers, and now it's all speed dial.
Yeah, I don't
I
know
really
any
don't
bit.
know anybody's phone numbers anymore.
Yeah, so don't be too afraid to let go of that. I mean, I guess growing up in Chicago, I do, the only business number I know is 588-2300 Empire. Which anyone in the Midwest right now is probably, that probably jostled something loose from years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you had some good points to talk about with social media. So, I see you've listed branding, Facebook, and I'm curious about those, but also your hybrid medium point.
Yeah. So in my speech, which is available, you could post a link to it, or if anybody has questions, I could give it to them.
Yeah, we'll post, if you don't mind, post this PDF you sent me
Absolutely.
to the
Yeah.
podcast.
I find it's helpful to break down when you're thinking about who you want to target. You want to think about, you want really want to break marketing into two distinct channels, and they have a lot of different names, but I find these are the two most easiest names, is direct marketing and creative marketing. Creative marketing is basically what most people think of when they think of advertising and marketing. That's Mad Men. You know, that's commercials, that's radio, magazines, television. It's getting people to feel a certain way about you. You know, Pepsi and Coke and McDonald's spend billions of dollars a year to make people, maybe not billions, but a lot of money, to make people feel a certain way about their product. You know, to think that Pepsi is refreshing, you know, and Coca-Cola, you love one another type of stuff. And that's all well and good, but for the small business, it's typically vastly out of your price range, and it's a totally different style of marketing. So I tell a lot of small businesses not to worry too much. I mean, that's something that might take effect when you have 30 trucks in the field, and you're working over maybe a tri-state or tri-city area. But from the get-go, I say don't waste your time with a lot of that stuff, because it takes many, many impressions to get people to feel a certain way about you. Direct marketing is kind of the overlooked marketing, and that's really what's going to have the biggest return on investment for folks. A lot of the digital mediums nowadays are a hybrid of those two things. So you can kind of dabble in the branding field while still generating phone calls. So direct marketing is basically, when we think about Pepsi and McDonald's and those people, you see those commercials all the time, even if you're not a customer theirs or you don't visit them very often. What they're doing is, when you have the need for a soda or a hamburger, they want you to be to have this rolling around in the back of your head. Oh, McDonald's is where I have to go. I need to get a Coca-Cola as soon as you get thirsty or hungry. Direct marketing is, you have the need and you go to a medium to find a solution to that, which is typically nowadays Google. You say, wow, I have a need for a radon mitigation system. Somebody told me about radon, and then you start Googling it. Google is probably the biggest direct form of marketing out there right now. So those, I find it's important to understand the difference of those two concepts. If you can be on first page of Google, everybody wants that. You can get a lot of direct leads. So in the digital media side of things, Facebook is pretty incredible. It's pretty ubiquitous. It's a little scary. I personally don't have a Facebook because of how much data they gather. I like to say as a disclaimer to people, in the digital world, on your phone, on apps, on websites, if the service you're getting is free, you are the product. So just know that your data is being brokered and they're finding more and more interesting ways to track you
Oh,
at a
wow. That's
yeah.
a
So
really,
Facebook.
really good way to put it. I've never thought about it like that.
Yeah, if it's free, you're the product. So Facebook is incredibly successful because they've monetized all the stuff that you put on there for free. They've monetized your name, your age, your thoughts and feelings about products. I actually have a friend in the industry, and they I can't remember the term for it, but they have a term for if you're sitting say on a bus or on a plane or somewhere and you're looking at Facebook and you tilt your phone up. And I've noticed this that I do it now. If I'm reading something and I'm just flipping, I'm scrolling through, and then I tilt my phone up because I'm interested in something. Facebook has a word for that and they know what it is. And it's a model that they track. Oh, this interested this person. So I found that that was really crazy, all the stuff they know. But anyway,
Well, what
Facebook
do you mean
marketing.
when you you've mentioned, I'm sorry to interrupt, the you talked about a hybrid medium.
Yeah, so basically, there's a lot of pure channels out there. I guess it might be easier to talk about pure channels first. Directory mediums, Google and phone books, those are the two biggest. I mean, you get your name where people are looking for a service. If you're not listed there, you've pulled yourself completely out of the running. So at the very least, you need a website, you need a Google Places or Google Maps listing. You need those things. As far as Yellow Pages are concerned, I was 26 when I started. I did not think they were worth anything, but it totally depends on your market. Where I was in Northern Colorado, there were still a lot of baby boomers that used the directories. If the price point was right, I had a lot of people that made a huge return on investment because the pricing had gone down by tens of thousands of dollars since the 80s and 90s. So,
Yeah, I would think marketing's very divided right now with the audience because there is the baby boomers and then there's the new generation, the millennials, that
exactly, and a lot of
two totally different venues.
Yeah, I'm on the very tail end of the millennials. I'm what they call an elder millennial. And for years, no one in my social group could afford a house. Everybody was renting. And everybody was telling me, I got to be on Google to see your friends. And I'd say, my friends don't have money. You want my parents. And my parents were using a phone directory. So that's part of the thinking and the targeting. Who do you really want to get after, and where are they going to be looking for you? And I find spending a little bit of time meditating on that, you can really find what's useful to you. So obviously, I like to talk about some no-brainers, and a lot of the no-brainers are that direct advertising. So make sure you have a Google Maps page. It's really, really simple to set up. Honestly, the best way to do it, I could explain it here, but the best way to do it is to Google it. How do I set up my Google Maps page? Basically, they have to send you a postcard and you have to enter a code to prove that you are who you say you are at that address. And then you can log in and change your hours of operation. You can add photos. I was surprised how many people look at the photos, of our business. I threw up a picture of our dog. And she gets about 500 photo views a year when
Oh,
people are looking
great.
for Radon supplies. And she's got nothing to do with Radon, but it does pull some eyes into the device. So that's a big time no-brainer. Going back to some other no-brainers, because I find so many people skip over this and I go, listen, you don't need to spend $1,000 a month just yet. The big things are a website, a branded business. Do you have a logo? Do you have business cards? Do you have something you can put on t-shirts and your trucks, because a lot of people skip that step. They go with something, oh yeah, Vistaprint gave me something free years ago, or I just kind of stole this little thing off an ad that the newspaper made me 10 years ago. Make sure you spend a little bit of money and get that looking exactly the way you want. A lot of graphic designers, it's a pretty flooded marketplace. You can get a logo designed for as little as $300 online. There was a business that I used to work with called 99 Designs, where I think it's about $100 or $300, somewhere in that price range, where you can say, I want a business logo. You give them your name, you give them some colors you like and some ideas, and then graphic designers freelance and they make about 10 to 15 bucks on these. So they're not top cream of the crop, but they'll make you 99 designs. You pick three of them and then they'll hone in those three and then you pick a winner. And it costs you could do it over 2 weeks just via email and get something pretty darn good. for a small business starting out.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, just go start Googling, start networking, go to networking groups, ask who designed your logo? Where did you get it? A lot of times it's a family friend. It's somebody that is doing it as a side business, and you'd be surprised how little they would charge because the market is so saturated to design a professional logo and give you all the files you need. So I say get all that up and running first. Second on the no-brainers list is anytime you pay for any sort of advertisement anywhere, make sure your phone number and your website are on there. I've been very surprised at how many people just put their business name and they forget to put those two things. They're not going to remember your business name 5 minutes after you tell it to them. So make sure you got the phone number there. They can snap a picture of it. And then the big thing for mitigators, because mitigators are really, at the end of the day, they're home contractors. You're working on somebody's home, typically a home that they've just bought, that they've owned for a long time. You're not dealing with a lot of renters. But these people are out and about in society. They're working. You need to have your vehicles wrapped. Spend some money on your vehicles. Too many people forget it. Whoever's listening to this right now, I bet a good majority of your listeners are in their cars and they're driving around and their tailgate or the back of their van or truck. If it doesn't have anything on it, everybody that you pass on the highway doesn't know what you do. And I think it makes homeowners, when you pull up to a job, feel more confident that you've spent some money. You're not just somebody that bought the cheapest van they could online and started doing this. You've invested in the company. And it's just a billboard that you drive all day, every day. And it's typically pretty inexpensive in the grand scheme of things to do that. So obviously get the phone number, get the logo, and maybe a tagline on the back of your truck or, especially in the radon industry, some facts. We just came up with a bumper sticker that we've been handing out at shows just to spread radon awareness based off CDC research. And the number that we all know as listeners, 22,000 lung cancer deaths a year attributed to radon. There's 10,400 and some odd deaths every year from drunk driving. So radon kills twice as many people every year than drunk driving. And I find that when you're in your car, if you see that fact, that might wake you up and think, okay, I got to take radon seriously.
Yes, very impactful. And if it's on your, moving sign, or what do you think about signage at your office?
Yeah, absolutely. Signage at your office is especially important if you're in a main thoroughfare. If you're buried somewhere, you got to think about how many eyes are on that. If you've ever invested with a billboard marketing company, they have numbers on who drives by their signs. Sometimes they even invest on finding out data about those people, because with the digital mediums like Facebook and some online marketing tools, because it's a free product, they know your age, they know your gender, they a lot of times know your interests. But when you just drive by a billboard, they don't know that. But a lot of billboards and radio stations nowadays have a bit of that data on the actual people that are driving by. But yes, in general, you got to get signage on your building if you happen to have a warehouse or something like that, because usually the ROI is there. Usually it's less than a few thousand dollars for a really big sign. And if you get thousands of people that drive by that every year, that's a branding tool. That's something where... like with Pepsi and Coke and magazines and that type of branding, they see it. And then when they have the need, they go to a directory like Google and they match that logo. They say, I've seen that logo somewhere. Maybe I saw it on the van in my neighbor's yard. Maybe I saw it. Oh, I drive by that guy all the time at work. He's local. He's right down the street. And then they give you a call. So that's how kind of all of these marketing concepts relate, the branding to the directory.
Okay. Let's talk about websites for a minute. I know when somebody's starting out in a business, there's a lot of options and that can get overwhelming if somebody's not computer savvy, but I don't think it has to be. There are simple WordPress templates that look fantastic. Very interactive. They're mobile optimized. So, what are your thoughts on that?
I agree. A lot of my customers, because again, back when I was in the marketing industry, I was working with a lot of people that were legacy Yellow Page customers. So they were not exactly tech savvy. So there are a lot of, if you don't want to touch the computer, if you don't want anything to do with it, there are definitely affordable options out there. If you have a little bit of know-how, you can utilize WordPress, I think is pretty incredible. I've heard really good things about Squarespace. You've probably heard advertisements in different podcasts for things like WordPress and Squarespace. So there's a lot of do-it-yourself options out there. Again, a little bit of Googling will take you a long way. My suggestion for the small business, I'm really about shopping locally and buying locally, and writing about your purchasing power locally. I, when I was in school, I went to the University of Wisconsin and I got a degree in consumer behavior and consumer sciences, which is basically marketing from the consumer perspective. How do consumers behave and what is their influence on marketing? And I'm a big proponent of voting with your dollar. So I say, guaranteed in the town that you're listening to this in, even if it's a small town in Wyoming, maybe in your county, if I'm talking Wyoming, there's a website designer out there. And it's typically pretty inexpensive. We got our website redesigned, which I thought was incredibly affordable for, because we do e-commerce, we sell online, and that's a whole different ball game, and that's quite expensive. But for a radon mitigator, or a radon tester, you just need what's called kind of like a signpost website, you know, 3 to 5 pages. Every single page has to have your phone number on it and an email and your hours and your logo, something where I'm sold, I'm ready. I want to make a connection with you. I need something to click. I need to call you. I need to email you. But you can get like a signpost website, 3 to 5 pages for, you know, as little as $100 a month. A lot of times you can just pay up front for maybe $500 one-time fee to design it. You can host it. Hosting is usually where a lot of companies try and make up their money. Hosting really shouldn't cost you more than about 50 to $100 a month. I've seen it for as low as $10 a month. It depends on what type of services they're providing with you. But I would just suggest, again, talking to people in your networking group, doing a bit of research yourself online, and just visiting with usually about 3 to 5 local contractors, or visiting online with some online folks. Maybe meet with 2 local web designers and two that you found online. Salespeople are waiting out there to make a call and talk to you and try and sell you on their product. Visit with them and see who you feel comfortable with, and ask a lot of questions. Have things prepared. One big thing, as somebody who used to be a salesman, who used to be the guy bugging you on the phone saying, "Hey, I want to get a meeting with you." An easy way to tell a good salesperson from a bad one, and I'm not saying good as in somebody that makes a lot of money, I'm saying good as in someone that provides value to their customers: are they asking you questions? If you fill out a web contact form and saying, "Hey, I want to learn about what you can do to my website. Hey, I want to learn about how you can help me with search engine optimization," finding a good partner is really important, especially for, you know, mitigators, contractors. You guys are wearing a lot of hats. You want to go out there and do jobs. You don't want to waste time doing a, you know, making a website and working on SEO. There's very, I'd say it's about 10% of our listeners are going to actually go do it yourself. You want to find a trusted partner. Make sure they ask a lot of questions. If they're not asking questions and then they go to close, they've got no ammunition. They don't know anything about you. So they're trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. They may have a great product for you, but they don't know it. And there's no reason to trust them because they didn't ask anything about your business and they didn't ask what your needs are. So that's a big, you know, it's intuitively a red flag. You get a bad feeling in your gut working with one of those companies. But I think now that I've pointed out, a lot of listeners will understand that's why I didn't want to go with them. They don't know me. They don't know anything about me. So,
And you want to be have a customized experience because, you know, you're your only company, so you have to stand
exactly.
out from the competition. Another thing I think that gets overlooked is people need to be aware of securing their domain name, and creating a domain name that's easy to remember is ideal. But if you're uncomfortable to do that research, you should also maybe look for a company that is, you know, includes that in their offerings to you.
Yeah, a lot of times that's included in those hosting fees. Make sure that you own it. Make sure that you own it. I always recommend, if you're not ready to make a website, but you know you're going to be in this business for a long time, go out and buy a domain name. You can go to GoDaddy. Google now sells domain names. We own 6 domain names, and they're
Yeah, and
about,
there's one called Namecheap, I think. There's several.
yeah, it's not too difficult, and that you can get a domain on Google for as little as like $12 a month, or 12 bucks a
Yeah.
year. Sorry.
Pretty cheap, yeah.
It's important that you own it. The biggest thing with domain names is make sure that if you can, have it have keywords that people might search. Obviously, you're not going to get a hold of radon.com. Somebody got that already. But keywords are important. It's important that it's not too long. If you've got a really long business name, think about shortening it up to initials. Like ours is PDS for Professional Discount Supply. We don't do professionaldiscountsupply.com. That's way too long. So it's just radonpds.com. Really easy, really simple. And a big thing is domain authority is something that Google used to rank. I don't think it's as important now, but that's basically how old is your website? How long has it been maintained? So even just purchasing the name, you start to accrue domain authority. So if you're not ready to build a website this year, but you got, $12 laying around, buy a domain name and just sit on it for a year or two. And that way, when you go to implement a website and activate it, you're a little bit ahead of the game.
Oh, great
I definitely
idea.
recommend that. Yeah. Now, a couple other of the no-brainers that I find some folks hadn't thought about is, and I heard this a lot when I was talking with businesses, I would ask questions like, what's your greatest return on investment right now? What is, where do your customers come from? What's your best marketing channel? And I heard the same answer probably 9 times out of 10. And it would kind of irk me as a marketing guy because it's something that I can't sell you. It's something that I can't get you. But at the same time, you got to think about it as a business owner is referrals. Referrals aren't technically marketing, but you can kind of fit them into that box if you can definitely increase them. So referrals, obviously make sure you've got business cards handed out to the homeowner. I know a lot of mitigators work off a real estate transaction, so you never even see your customer, your end customer. You're usually working for a realtor, but you're installing a system, right? Why isn't there a sticker on that pipe with your name and phone number? I can't tell you how many mitigators install a system and don't leave any sort of leave behind on who they were, who was
Oh,
here.
sure. Then the neighbor that comes over and wants to know in a year, there's no easy access to your information.
Exactly. Don't hide it in the attic or somewhere. If the pipe is exposed in the laundry room or the garage, or a mechanical room, even if it's just a Sharpie, it's not ideal, but you could write your name, the date of install, and your phone number, and that to me is worth 5 minutes to write it down. But you can get custom stickers made up. I notice a lot of mitigators are doing this already where they'll have a dollar amount off for referrals on a business card. So you're going to a lot of networking events, you're leaving behind with your customer, and it says, hey, $25 gift card for a referral. People love those, and that there's a big response on that. So think about what you can afford and what your ROI is. A big one that I think the industry is missing out on. I used to work with a lot of roofers. Roofers leave up yard signs, and they leave up yard signs for 6 weeks to 6 months. And when
Wow,
you drive by,
yeah.
you get a hailstorm that comes through here in Colorado, and you see a roofer's yard sign, and you drive by it every day. After a couple days, maybe a couple weeks at most, you're going to think, honey, we might want to get a roof looked at because you're seeing all these yard signs spring up around you. So I recommend to mitigators, get some yard signs made up at a local print shop. They're inexpensive. And I would say give them $50 off if they leave it in their yard for, I don't know, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. And then you just go by and pick it up. And I guarantee you'll be getting some calls from that neighborhood, especially if they get a lot of traffic down that street. If you're not on cul-de-sac, you get a lot of calls saying, hey, there's radon next to me. Maybe there's radon in my house. Let's call and find out.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Inexpensive, easy
Inexpensive.
marketing.
Yeah, reusable too. Those yard signs will last years and years and years. So those are some big ones. On the digital front, I don't know what more might you want to know about some of the digital options.
What about email subscriptions when you do get a website or giveaways? Do you think that stuff pays off?
Email's tough. The open rate on email is a lot lower than some other mediums. If you're getting more than 5% of your emails opened, you're doing a really good job. It can be important. Email is kind of like the Facebook wall and the Instagram page for me. It's just a way to continually brand with your customers. So if people are interested, obviously give them the option, and try and send out emails a few times a year, but don't be a pest. Same with your Facebook wall. Update it. Facebook is more often. You want to update it 2 to 3 times a day, ideally, but not everybody has time for that. So again, it's what's in it with your ROI. Do you have time to do that? Do you want to pay somebody to do it for you? Do you see a return on it? But that's mostly branding. Email and Facebook wall, Instagram is a lot of branding. It's just keeping in people's minds. I find a nice thing that kind of fits within that. You mentioned giveaways, sponsorships, sponsor youth events, sponsor local community organizations and events. I mean, a lot of mitigators have families, or you're obviously part of your community. Sponsor the youth baseball team, sponsor the peewee football team, sponsor a local golf tournament. That stuff I think goes a long way. And a lot of customers probably a lot of mitigators and listeners are probably already doing that, but some people might have overlooked that and think, no, I got to spend $1,000 a month with Google. I got to spend $1,000 a month with Facebook. It's like pump that money back into the community and into the schools, and you're going to get parents very interested very quickly.
And the other thing I see you've written about is to ask for Google reviews. I think that would come naturally from a satisfied customer if you could just say, hey, would you mind getting on Google and giving me a positive review?
Yeah, absolutely. Or at least have something in retort, 'cause if you're doing a good job, and I hope most of the listeners are, you're going to get very grateful customers. And some of those customers might say, what can, you know, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you can turn that positive energy into something for your business. You say, you know what the best thank you is? A nice Google review. Google's are probably the best place to review, because obviously Google puts that into your domain authority. So if you have a bunch of 5-star reviews and it's tied to your website's going to start ticking up. So it's a self-feeding cycle. There's a lot of, I'm sure a lot of the listeners are familiar with other sites like Yelp and HomeAdvisor and some other places, Angie's List.
Angie's List, yeah.
These are tough. I can hear the groans through the phone right now. These are some of my
Oh,
competitors. Yeah, the long story short is, you know, back in the day, there was very few marketing channels. You know, there was radio, TV, yellow pages, newspapers. That was about it. And they owned all of the marketing dollars, which was good and bad because they charged a fortune. Now they don't anymore. But it was easier to track. It was easy to understand. Nowadays, there's dozens of splintered marketing channels. You can be on HomeAdvisor, Yelp, Angie's List, Google, Facebook, Instagram. I could go on and on. There's probably two dozen places that you could be listed. Something to keep an eye out for is a lot of these people are they're building their business models as a lead generation website. And when you're talking tracking return on investment, not all leads are created equal. And this is where people have problems with sites like HomeAdvisor and these other ones is what they do is they pay you a lot of times you'll pay them per lead. And you think that's great. I'm comfortable paying $5 for every phone call I get because I know I'm going to turn one out of every 10 of those to a customer and I'm going to make X dollars. That's a really good way to go about your marketing. However, you need to make sure that these sites aren't recycling leads or they aren't giving leads to everyone. $5 for a lead that goes to you and only you is worth a lot more than $5 for a lead that simultaneously goes out to 100 companies just like you, because odds are you're not going to be able to make that lead. You're not going to be able to close it. So a lot of times that's what I see is the big problem people have with those marketing channels. Other review sites too, consumers don't understand it. And here's kind of where my degree comes in handy, and I get very frustrated with the average Joe. I have a lot of my friends that use Yelp. I've gotten most of them off of not just Yelp, but other review sites like it, because those sites you can pay to have your 5-star review elevated. You can pay to have your 2-star review hidden. You can move things around a little bit, and a lot of homeowners don't like that. I'm not saying that's all Yelp does. They do provide great services in other ways, but there's a lot of movement. So as a consumer, you want to be aware when you're shopping that the website that you're shopping through is everything's above board. You're seeing everything. And I think a lot of contractors are frustrated with those websites because, you know, they're not shown or they're asked a fortune to be shown. They're asked a fortune to pay for each lead. So those are ones that I say for guys that are starting out, you might be able to avoid some of those websites if you go with some of the slam dunk, you know, easy lead generation tools.
What about professional networking? How important is that if you're in your community? Do you need to connect with other small business owners, even if they're not in your industry?
I think it is. I mean, I'm a talker, as you can tell. I think it's important to just get out there, let people know who you are. Once you get that nice logo made and those nice business cards, you don't gather dust on a shelf, go hand them out. Throw them in the lunch bowls, you know, at Starbucks and the local sandwich shop to win giveaways. You know, wear your polo shirt with your logo with pride. It's especially important when you're just starting out because you've got the time. You know, as you get busier and busier, you might not need those networking groups anymore. And that's okay. You don't have to go because you've built your business. But at the beginning, a lot of them are free. A lot of times, I used to do something called the Red Carpet Committee with the Chamber of Commerce, where we would go in every day, every Monday, and visit a new business and do a ribbon cutting. And nobody would try and sell the business anything. Everybody would just have coffee, leave their business cards, and it would basically be all eyes on that business for 30 minutes. And if you're a small business owner, mitigator, or tester just starting out, join one of those groups and maybe they'll spotlight you one day. Typically, a chamber membership for like a small town is a couple $100 a year. And if you go to, you know, 5 to 10 events, I think that's a pretty good return on investment. Usually, you're getting free coffee and donuts anyway. And 20 to 30 businesses like you get to know you. And if you go into Bob's Automotive and get your car tuned up and somehow lung cancer gets brought up or radon or something in the health, they might think, you know what, I was talking to so and so. They do radon testing. You should call them. So it, I think that's important to just put down roots in your community and let people know that you're there instead of just a website or a Facebook
Yeah,
page.
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you for bringing all this to to us today. I really think the listeners will get some great tips and hopefully some ideas to take action with this. And I want to remind the listeners that the outline to this will be posted on the podcast site, so you're welcome to look at it. Brent is being very generous to do that. Thank you, Brent.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Amy, and thanks for putting this podcast together. I'm
Yeah.
really proud to be an ARS member. Any listeners out there, if you are on the fence, definitely join for the industry. Again, it's kind of like marketing and networking within your community. It shows that you care. It's something to advertise for consumers. We have our ARS logo all over our website. I attend all the shows. If you ever have marketing questions, come up to me and say hi. I love to give out free advice. I want everybody to be successful. You know, a rising
That's
tide
great.
lifts all boats.
That's
So,
right. That's right. Great. Well, this has been great to have you on today. And thank you to our listeners. And you can find him at radonpds.com. Did you want to put a phone number, Brent?
yeah, you can always reach us at
Okay.
719-444-0646, and my email is really easy. It's brent@radonpds.com. And
Great.
you can also go to Radon PDS. You might forget that in 5 minutes. Part of my branding. Go to radonreality.com. That's a little bit easier to remember. It'll take you to the same
Okay.
place. It's just a little.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. And I'd like to remind the listeners, we're going to have about five of these podcasts throughout Membership Appreciation Month. So check them all out. All right. Thanks, Brent.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This has been Amy Morris with ARST, and I'm your membership coordinator. If you need to reach me, send me an email at memberships@arst.org. And thanks for tuning into the Radon Connection, making a difference in your life by helping you grow in knowledge, skill, business, and reputation.